TR's News Collective.
At large.
Is that too short?
No.
At large.
From CITR's News Collective. Lola, why don't you try it?
Take. You're listening to At Large from the News Collective at CITR.
Last night, which was Wednesday, April 10th, myself, Alex DeBoer, and a couple other CITR reporters, Zoe Power and Andy Laidman, went to an open house at the Kits Neighborhood House, which is located at Vine and 7th.
How many stories is that?
Like five?
Four.
Is it four?
One, two, three, four.
But
four.
It looks, I guess just because it has a pointy...
It's got like a rooftop thing.
It's got a rooftop thing, yeah. We counted the number of stories in apartment buildings along 7th. The tallest was four.
Yeah, so we have four stories. So, like, the tallest in Kits generally now is four stories, right?
No, like, but what? This area is as well. Like, this
yeah.
street is where a
Because this
of
is further from the ocean.
Well, and, like, specifically in this exact area, or this exact street, is where a lot of these, like, lost area apartments
are. Right.
Like, the whole surrounding area, a lot of it is, like, single-family homes.
Right.
Like, a couple blocks.
Zoe lives in Kits and says that although 7th has apartments along it, a lot of Kits is just single-family homes. When we arrive at the neighborhood house, after a short walk, about a dozen folks are standing outside, and some are holding clipboards.
That's probably a really good place. You know, it's not in the middle of a neighborhood. There's going to be a whole bunch of...
So you're saying that people shouldn't be living in the middle of a neighborhood?
I'm just saying we shouldn't build really tall buildings.
There's plenty of three-story, so these three-story buildings are five is where the line is crossed. Is four,
well,
four
look,
and a half?
Imagine that building going up that many more stories.
One
imagine
more
what
story.
It does to the light.
One, two, three.
We overheard a debate about whether rental projects like this one are a reasonable solution to the city's housing crisis.
So let me ask a question. How much rental is enough? Kits and Lanham is 50% rental right now. Is 90% enough? 110%? Like, where do you draw the line?
Well, I mean,
it's a balance.
Not at this one project. I mean, when we have a sub 1% vacancy rate in the city, the need for rentals is overwhelming.
There's other ways to solve it.
The debate here at the neighborhood house in Kits is spurred by an open house being held for a rental development set to be built at Larch and Second. This development has been put forward under one of the city's rental incentive programs, MIRP. MIRP stands for Moderate Income Rental Housing Pilot Program. It was passed in 2017 under the previous city council. Like Rental 100, MIRP incentivizes developers to build 100% rental stock. What the developer gets out of this program is reduced parking requirements, increased density, and an expedited construction process. What renters get out of it is a building with 20% of the units secured for people who make between $30,000 and $80,000 a year. These units are rented at 30 to 40% of the market rate, so that's around $950 for a studio. These units also have vacancy control applied to them, meaning that if a tenant moves out, rent can only be raised by the annual allowable rate set by the province.
Are you interested in signing a petition to delay this development?
The people holding clipboards outside the neighborhood house were soliciting signatures for a petition. We spoke to one woman about what they're hoping to achieve.
Yeah, would you mind telling me who you are and where we are right now?
Well, my name is Janet Bickford, and I live in First and Trafalgar. And I'm about a block away from this development at Second and Larch. And what we don't like about it is we think it dwarfs the buildings around us. It's going to shade, we've looked at the shadow studies, it's going to shadow some of the decks of the condos across the street from it on Larch. And those people are really upset by that. We just think it's totally out of keeping with the neighborhood. And we feel like we're sort of a heritage neighborhood. And we've, you know, most of us have worked hard to live there and to sort of maintain and attain that in the first place, you know. So we love our neighborhood. We think it's historic, and we don't want to see it at this. We feel it's a thin end of the wedge. If they can clunk a five-story building right in the middle of our zoning, why shouldn't we protest it? Because, you know, they're obviously City Hall, they've been given a incentive to propose it, and I think that it's corrupt, I think, really, I do.
What is the current zoning in the area?
It's RT8.
Is that single home?
No, it's duplex. Some duplexes and some infill houses, but mostly, you know, single families with suites in them, basement suites and other suites in them. Yeah.
And what are you doing outside of the Kits Community Hall? Is that what it's called? Kits Neighborhood House. Sorry.
That I'm hoping that I can get people to sign. It's against the this development here, and I just got started here with my petition.
So you're getting folks to sign, and then you're going to present it to council?
Yeah, I believe that's the idea. I'm just helping by getting the signatures. I'm not the leader of this or anything. But
are you part of a group?
Yes, we have a little hub which is in the areas right adjacent to the church, but there's another group called the West Kiss Residents Association, which is also involved, and they've been organized for a really long time, and they're very, very hot on any rezoning issues. So they're quite a mover in this. I think they're also against this because we feel that they're just plunking these things into all these different neighborhoods, right, despite what the zoning is, and we think that it could be a bad sign for the future.
Sorry, what was the name of your group?
We don't really have a name. We don't have a name, no.
Well, what do you think about people who would say we're in a housing crisis and we need more
home crisis? But this is not really going to be affordable. The only 20% of it's going to be so-called affordable. And those units will probably go really quickly. And they claim that they'll be in perpetuity and that when the tenants change over, they'll be required to maintain the low rents. But we don't see how they're going to be able to enforce that, because it's going to be a lot of bureaucracy for the city to process that. And but they maintain that it will be done, you know. But anyway, there also isn't enough parking provided, and there's a very narrow lane, and they're going to have all of these cars coming and going on a really narrow lane, which will be a nasty bottleneck. Problem is we don't want to see our heritage neighborhood destroyed.
I'm just wondering, if the building was actually providing affordable housing or more affordable housing, would that make it more appealing to you?
It would, yes. Only 20% of it will be affordable, though. So we don't think that's enough for the impact on the neighborhood.
Most people at the town hall were residents of Kits, and the majority we spoke with were opposed to the 5-story development in its current form. Most say it's too tall and that it threatens the character of the Kitsilano neighborhood, although the developer has already done one public consultation and made changes with feedback in mind. Some people said they'd be all right with the development if it were 4 stories rather than 5. But the problem is that, firstly, that reduces the amount of rental housing being created, and secondly, fewer units make the project less financially viable for the developer. Despite the opposition we heard, we did speak with a couple people who were in favor of the apartment at 1805 Larch. One man gave us his thoughts on the urgency of this rental project and others like it.
You can do this. Can you mind telling me your name and just where we are today?
My name is Peter Waldkirch.
Awesome. And why are you here? What's your...
I'm here to support this project. I think we're in a housing crisis in this city, which, you know, most people focus on the sort of how unaffordable it is to buy property in the city. But I think just as important is the rental crisis in this city. We have a vacancy rate of less than 1%, which gives all the power to landlords and takes powers away from tenants. And I think we urgently need to build more rental homes in this city. And this is a project where they're trying to build a 5-story tall building that is filled with rental homes, a certain amount of which are designed for people with low to moderate incomes. And I think there's just a desperate need for projects like this throughout the entire city, not just in Kits, everywhere, but yes, in Kits. And so I find the opposition to it because the building is too tall. And when I was in this open house today, I heard people calling it, there's posters calling it a monstrosity. I heard people comparing it to a communist building that was going to destroy the neighborhood, all these sorts of, quite frankly, basically ridiculous things, and that upsets me. I think this city has an urgent need for homes like this.
Are you, do you live in Kits?
Not quite. I live sort of, I live close to Broadway, but closer towards Oak Street.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Do you have anything to say about the actual development, the incentive program under which the development is being proposed, which is the MERP program, mm-hmm. Which is 20% of the units will be rented to families with 30K to 80K incomes. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's enough? Do you think it's too much? What do you think of the MERP incentive program?
Well, I understand it's a pilot program, and so we're still just seeing sort of the first wave of buildings coming through to it, so I think we still have to see to where it goes. I understand it's a response to a really difficult problem, which is that how do you build low homes for low-income people without massive amounts of dollars, which have to come from somewhere and just isn't there, right? The province isn't giving it, the federal government isn't giving it. So one of the ways I understand that MERP sort of operates is to sort of allow for a bit more density in exchange for some of these cheaper buildings, and I think we can see here the sort of opposition that that creates. So inside here I heard people complaining that it wasn't low income enough, but at the same time complaining that it was the shade was going to, you know, intrude on their privacy, which is just totally contradictory. And so I think it's a good start. I think we obviously probably need to do more, but I think the MERP program at least shows some possibilities for helping people who need homes.
Okay. We've got you absolutely cornered on all sides here, but just like a quick question that I'm curious about. Why did you come to the open house specifically? Was it to learn more about the project, or you wanted to chat to folks?
To express my support. I want, I think if people who support these I think these sorts of open houses and these sorts of projects tend to attract opposition. It's easier, you know, it tends to attract people who want to say no, not in my backyard. It doesn't really attract people who are like, yeah, the city needs this. I mean, this is going to be really close to a SkyTrain station in the future, close to downtown, close to UBC. I mean, it's just such a great location. If anything, this building should be bigger so that there's more people can live in this wonderful neighborhood. I don't think more people will ruin this neighborhood. I think more people will help create vibrant neighborhoods themselves.
Yeah. What do you say, just tying into that? What do you say about the density concerns that have been raised by this?
I'm a fan of sort of higher density. I was lucky enough to be a student in Montreal for earlier in my life, and I think one of the things that, you know, everyone loves Montreal. Everyone thinks it's a city with a lot of character, with a lot of interesting neighborhoods and a lot of interesting stores and art and nightlife. And one of the things that creates that, I think, exciting environment is sort of medium density everywhere. It doesn't need to be towers everywhere, but, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 sort of story tall buildings all over the place can, I think, create really wonderful, livable, walkable neighborhoods. I also think from a climate change perspective, densifying is an urgent necessity. Sort of detached houses compels a car-dependent lifestyle, and that's one of the major drivers of our carbon footprint. I think if we as a society are serious about addressing climate change and reducing our carbon footprint, we need to start building denser neighborhoods that support walking and that support transit, biking, wheelchair use, whatever it is, that's not cars. And so I think that's really actually quite urgent. And so I'm a fan of density, and I think they create wonderful, livable neighborhoods.
Thank you.
Thanks for taking the time.
So after hearing arguments for and against the project and checking out the information presented by the city and the developer inside the neighborhood house, myself, Zoe, and Andy reflected on our evening in Kits.
So we're here outside of the Kits neighborhood house. Just spoke with some folks with differing opinions on this redevelopment at 1805 Larch Street in Kits, which is near the water. Andy and Zoe, anything you two have to say about this experience?
It was really interesting to kind of see, like, both the conflicting sides of pro and negative, but it was also super interesting to see kind of, like, the displays that the developer and the city put up, because something that I found interesting is that the developer's already decreased the story limit, and originally it was 6, and now it's gone down to 5. I also found it was really interesting that they had photos of similar-sized buildings, that they were using historically built buildings as comparisons.
That is interesting. That they had that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the information they have inside certainly is like a bit of a one-stop shop for finding out everything you could ever need to know about this development, which I actually found very impressive. And the city officials who are here are saying that all of the feedback given today is going to be taken into consideration if the development does go through for council approval. So it'll be interesting to see how that actually takes effect, given that the setup tonight was very professional. It had all of the information you could ever want. The architect was in hand. They had gluten-free organic granola bars with shiitake mushroom extract.
Provided by the developer, we heard.
Provided by the developer, yes. He also had a much higher quality display board than those provided by the City of Vancouver. The cities were recyclable.
Mm-hmm. Unacceptable.
Yeah, definitely this being here emphasized that it's a really long process to get a development put through, and there's a lot of community input. And so, like Andy said, they've already done one round of input. And so after the staff compile the forms people fill out here with their opinions, they will present those to city councilors, to council, and then if council gives the go-ahead, then there'll be a public hearing. That's the process.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like in terms of folks who have shown up to oppose the development tonight, a lot of that sentiment seems to come from worries about the precedent that this development would set for the neighborhood in general. There's a lot of people saying that this would set an example that would lead to further like multi-story zoning, especially with the Broadway subway being talked about putting in the near future. And there's actually protesters outside the neighborhood house who are protesting other proposed developments in the same general area. So this is very much the site of a conversation about much more than just this one specific proposed development.
I think it's important to also talk about the fact that city officials have like feedback forms actually within the town hall today, as well as a petition is going around outside by protesters, which they will present to council once it's completed.
Yeah. So you can do the official route, the city forms, and or you can sign a petition.
Thank you for listening.
Opposed to the project.
This story was reported by Andy Laidman, Zoe Power, and Alex DeBoer. Editing and production by myself, Alex DeBoer. Song featured was An Oddly Formal Dance by Blue Dot Sessions. Special thanks to CITR's News Collective.